This is podcast of my talk that I recently gave at IIT Kanpur. The title of the talk is Life Lessons from a Spiritual Engineer. This talk though I gave at IIT Kanpur, but it is applicable to every college or engineering school wherever the students are. Now, the question is this: why this talk? Because I have done things differently and against all odds and norms. And thus, I wanted to share my story and journey for its uniqueness, and especially to inspire youngsters like you or the audience in IIT Kanpur, so you can help make this country a great country and be attached to the story of India. Now, I have always felt that you can feel about the country when you are attached to its story. When you do not have a feeling and attachment to the country, then you can never make the country great, because you would like to just simply run away. And that is what is happening to a lot of youngsters. And so, but what is exactly the story of India? I feel that the great spiritual and ethical traditions of this ancient land, and especially its philosophical thought like Yoga, Patanjali, Yoga Sutras and other things that India has given to the world from time to time, especially whole series of thoughts like Buddhism, Jainism, Sikhism, and in between all sort of very different types of yoga, Bhakti Yoga, etc., that India has given spiritually to the whole world. And also the ancient tradition of the music and culture and etc. So these are the things which make what is called as the story of India. It also includes the present generation. But most of this generation has a disconnect with the country because they feel that everything is bad here and one should run away. But you have to go deeper into the history of India to find out how great this country was. And that is the story of India. And if you get inspired by this talk and what I did, then follow the philosophy behind this journey. You don't have to do what I exactly did, but follow the philosophy and then chart your own course. But the focus should be how you can be attached to the story of India and how do you help make this country great. I must also warn that it is very difficult to compress 65 years of one's life in 40 odd minutes that this podcast will be off, but I'll try. And so when all of us help to improve the lives of rural population through technology, and mind you, the word is through technology, then we can make this country great and in the process show the world a new paradigm of development. You see, the question is this, that today whatever we are is because of technology. The very fact that I am talking through this microphone, I am talking on this computer, recording it, gave this lecture in IIT, went by air to IIT Kanpur, all this is because of technology. And we have to embrace the technology. And it is the same technology which needs to be put and used for development of rural India so that we can bring the bottom of the pyramid people up to make this country great. Now, I'll tell you briefly about my early life and my education. I was born and raised in Lucknow in early 1950s. And did my schooling in St. Francis School. St. Francis School was one of the best schools at that time in Lucknow. In fact, there were a couple of English medium missionary schools, but two which stood out were St. Francis and Lamartinier. Lamartinier was much older school, but St. Francis always scored in the fact that it sent maximum number of students to IIT, JEE. For example, during the year that I got into IIT Kanpur, there were, I think, 7 to 8 of us who got into IIT Kanpur from St. Francis, whereas only 2 came from La Martiniere. Very early in my life, I was exposed to the spiritual and intellectual traditions of India. And this influence was because of my father, who went to jail with Gandhiji in 1942, Quit India Movement. In fact, he was caught in Delhi and he had a 5,000 rupees prize on his head, which was a substantial amount at that time. And so the CID and the police thought that they have caught a big man. And from Delhi, he was transferred to Lucknow jail. And when he got out in 46 from Lucknow jail, he liked Lucknow so much that he made it as his home. And that's where I was born. A big bungalow, old English type bungalow, was allotted to my father and in the Hazrat Ganj. And he and Shri Keshav Dev Malviya, who later on became the General Secretary of Congress Party and the Petroleum Minister of Government of India, started a press together, and that is where the bungalow was given. But very soon, Nehruji called Keshav Dev Malviya to Delhi, and so my father was left with the press and the bungalow. So he sold, he abandoned the press, or he just closed it up. And it is in this bungalow that I and my brother Alok were born. Because of my father's influence, he gave me a lot of books of India and its great tradition. And so very early in the age of 14-15, I read extensively the books like Gandhiji's autobiography, Indian classics like Panchatantra, and lot of spiritual books. And that I cannot explain, but on my 13th birthday, I was given Gandhiji's autobiography in Hindi, and it was like a switch. I used to get first and second position in the school, and somehow this autobiography simply took hold of my imagination and my brain, and I stopped, you know, focusing on my studies and became extremely interested in Gandhiji's autobiography. And through it, I became extremely interested in the spiritual books of India. And the spiritual books of India reading, because there was an excellent library called Acharya Naren Dev Library in Lucknow, in which my father was a founding member. So I used to go there, get these books, and used to read them. Now, at the age of 14 or 15, how much you can absorb some of these very dense books like Patanjali Yoga Sutras and etc. But the desire was just there. And this naturally helped me on the path of spirituality. And it resulted in my doing intense and long meditation. There were very interesting dreams and some experiences that I got at the age of 14 and 15. But this intense meditation helped me increase my concentration and focus on any topic. And this really helped me in doing a lot of very interesting things. And this is what I'm going to talk about. How if you make your brain powerful and focus like laser or anything, then all the secrets of nature are revealed to you. And this also helped me to get attached to the story of India, because then I suddenly discovered the great tradition, the great things about this country. And it also made me go on my own dhun. I became immune to what others thought of me, because I thought that my path was the correct path and whatever I was doing was the right thing. And I would suggest that you please read about this interesting times of my life. And I have written about my life, and it is on the net, and it is basically https://narifulton.org/earlylife.pdf. Please read that and you will get some idea about what made me do all these things and what are the forces that created this dhun and passion and janoon. I always wanted to be an engineer, and I used to, in the house, I used to break things and remake things and, you know, assemble them back, and whatever a little bit I knew. And so, and also since I was very good in the study, so I gave the JEE exam, and my position was 29, and this was the highest JEE position from Lucknow. And I did my BTech and MTech in mechanical engineering. So I was in IIT Kanpur from 1967 to 74. From 1967 to 72 was BTech, and 72 to 74 was MTech. In those times, the BTech was 5 years program, and MTech naturally was 2 years program. And it is so different now because it is a 4 year program. A lot of things are compressed and compacted. And so, but I felt that that was the best education that I got. There are very happy memories of those days, and I have written a very big blog on those days, and it is, you can access it. All these things that I wrote, I have made it free of cost, or I have made it freely available on the net. And my IITK days are https://iitkdays.pdf. IIT Kanpur education provided me with expansion of mind and vision. And whatever I am today, I owe to IIT education, especially humanities courses. In those 5 years, we had the luxury of taking large number of courses in humanities. And if I am not wrong, I took almost 9 courses in humanities. And whatever, and I always have felt that humanities courses are far more important than your technical courses, because they give you a well-rounded personality. So I would urge you to please go to the library. Don't simply spend time unnecessarily on your WhatsApp and etc. and social media. Read, and read extensively, because the library is very good. And especially read the humanities section. Either read the novels, read the other things besides your technical education. To my mind, at least in those times, IITK was a great institution, and I feel that please soak up the knowledge while you are here. Read extensively, especially the classic literature. It will help you become a well-rounded personality. Then, as usual, even now, but in those times, most of the graduates, after they graduated, they went to United States for higher studies. They really went to United States for higher studies and not for MBA or etc. Though some of them did go, but this trend came later on to go into MBAs. And so today, majority of the students who pass out from prestigious institutes like IITs, they are not at all involved in the technology field, but they are all involved in commerce and management. I always wanted to be a teacher and a researcher. So obviously, it meant that I should go and do my PhD. Even then, I knew that the PhD from IIT is not a very great thing. I'm sorry to say that. But even today, the higher education is pretty bad. The quality of students coming out from MTech and PhDs are absolutely horrible. And I have gotten few of them, and they were not worth talking about. They were all mechanical engineers, and they did not know anything about mechanical engineering. So I went to US for higher studies, and it was funded by the Government of India scholarship. These are very prestigious scholarships. 50 of them were given every year. In those times, Government of India encouraged the students to go abroad, learn in different very cutting edge areas, and thought that they will come back and help the country. Very, very few students who went on Government of India scholarship came back. And majority of them, they paid back the money, because the money was not great, because once you were in America, you got a job. It was easy to pay. And then they got away from the guilt feeling that they have paid. But I think that was a very wrong attitude, because when the scholarship was given, see, you cannot repay these things. You may think that you have repaid, but you cannot, because the conditions change, the circumstances change. And so I always felt that, and naturally I was very much attached to the story of India, and I felt that Government of India has spent money on me and I should go back to utilize this knowledge. I did my PhD in University of Florida. I was there for 7 years. I did work in solar energy and also taught there for 2.5 years. And I was very lucky to work under solar energy pioneer called Farber. In fact, when I got a scholarship, I went to University of Florida, and the Government of India's officials told me that most of the students go to MIT, Harvard, and why am I going to University of Florida? So I told them that there's a very famous professor in solar energy and I would like to go and work under him. Dr. Farber allowed me total freedom to study whatever I wanted. And this was, I would say, one of the best things that happened to me, because I found out that majority of professors, they would use students as assembly line workers. So in 3-4 years, you got a PhD, 2-3 papers, and you're out. With Farber and with a great university system, I was able to soak as much as possible, because there was a tremendous thirst for knowledge. And so in whatever areas I liked, I would attend lectures, I would audit courses, and learn so much from the university. And so there was a tremendous desire to gain knowledge. And I had a lot of eclectic interests. So besides my mechanical engineering, I took courses in psychology, physics, deep mathematics, field theory, surface chemistry, or anything which caught my fancy. Most of these courses I took because I was working in the solar distillation. And so I wanted to go very deep into the whole basis of evaporation of water, what happens to the surface, and how the solar energy interacts with the surface, and so on and so forth. But this allowed me tremendous expansion of knowledge, and for which I have always been grateful to the Government of India and to my professor, who never interfered in what I was doing. And this thirst for knowledge got so much janoon in me that somehow the living good life did not get into the vision field. In fact, most of the Indian students that went there at the time, they all wanted a good life, because there was a zameen asman farak between India and United States in the early 70s, and you could be seduced by the living conditions of United States. But somehow, because of this janoon for knowledge, the living a good life did not get into the vision field. So I lived in the cheapest dorms. There was no AC in these dorms, and drove a second-hand car. In fact, I learned to drive only in the second year, because it didn't make any difference. You know, there was my roommate and friends who would take me to the grocery store, and that was it. I got from point A to point B. Whether I drove the car myself or somebody else took me, it did not matter. But this is what I would like to tell you, that when you have the janoon, when you have the passion for knowledge, then everything else does not matter. The focus becomes knowledge. You get a tremendous high in getting, when trying to learn, doing something wonderful. And that is what, that was the state of my affairs. And so my 7 years stay in University of Florida from 74 to 81 were the happiest times of my life. I also met my wife there. She's Nandini Nimkar. She was also doing her PhD. And we got married in 1976. And for almost 5 years, we were married while she was doing her PhD. And I also was doing my PhD and then finished teaching. And you can read about my experiences there. It was written in a book form and called 1970s America, an Indian Student Journey. I have made this into an audiobook, and you can Google it and you can listen to it and also read it. And I hope some of you will be inspired by that story, that here was one person who went to the United States, had a janoon for knowledge, did a lot of very interesting work, learned a lot of things, and then came back to India. Now, I returned to rural Maharashtra in 1981. In fact, in 1980, I came back just to see where I'll work. So I traveled all over the country. I was given a full faculty position in IIT Bombay, very strong possibility of getting in the IIC Bangalore, a full job in BHEL Hyderabad, and a very big position in Tata's. But there was an arrogance and a janoon which made me come back, and also an arrogance and janoon that I want to do something on my own. And maybe I was inspired by Gandhiji, maybe I was inspired by whatever it is, I wanted to work in rural area. And the story of India was also responsible and just caught hold of me, and maybe because of past connections or sanskars, but it just made me come back, and that too also rural India. Both I and my wife were very clear that we want to come back to India. Where we want to come, where we would work, was not the point of discussion. The discussion was that we have to come back. And before I left United States, I went all over United States where, you know, most of my classmates were there, visited them, told them that we are going back to India. They were all very happy. And I said, join us because we can do something for the country. And they all said, ki, no, you don't get this, you don't get that in India. And this was late 1970s. And I told them, I said, you know, we are going back to India not for this or that. We are going back to India because we want to use our knowledge for the benefit and upliftment of India. I had this arrogance that I wanted to change India. What a fool I was. India did not change. It is a very ancient society. Thousands and thousands of years it has existed. But it changed me. It taught me humility, sustainability, and enhanced my work on spirituality. It taught me humility because it showed me that the problems are so huge that in 7 generations I cannot solve them. And so one becomes humble that whatever little bit you can do, you should do it. Living a very simple life in rural India teaches you sustainability. And because of my past connections with spirituality, it also enhanced my spirituality, because when I saw that simplicity, I started living in a simple manner, then you also become spiritual. Though I had stayed for 7 years in the United States, but I did not bring anything from the United States. No refrigerator, TV, car, air conditioner, etc. Just books and music system. So, in fact, when I had gotten some 12, some 1.5 tons of material from America, and this material came in the big container, and I was so much afraid of pilferation in Bombay customs that I told somebody influential that please see that nothing goes missing. So the custom person thought that I was a fool. This is just for the books. He thought that I had to ask this higher up to see if everything is all right. And in those days, the boxes were mostly from Johnny Walker, Red Label, Shivas Regal, etc. And he kept on thinking that there must be some liquor bottles in this. So I told him, I said, you are most welcome to see whatever you want to see. And if you find a bottle, you're most welcome to take it, and you can take a lot of everything else. So anyway, I never cared about what people thought. I just did whatever I wanted to do. And this was the thing that helped. In United States and India, I had very prestigious offers, job offers. For example, in United States, I had offers from Bell Labs, then Solar Energy Research Institute, which was being formed. In fact, the deputy director of SERI got so much liking for me that he even showed me his parking place where I would have park my car. And he wanted that I should join immediately. And I told him I'm going back to India. And he started laughing because he was from Princeton and he knew a lot of Indians. And he says, who goes back to India? And then there were major universities who offered me jobs. And a person, you know, I ran a very major program, University of Florida, on training scientists from developing countries in renewable energy. And the person who was in charge of the program used to sit on the National Security Council of the President Carter. And he said, you are doing a harakari and I'll give you a green card in 1 second. And I'll put your citizenship in a fast track. But there was this janoon. And I said, no, I would like to go back. In India, as I said, I was given a full faculty position in IIT Bombay, Tata's, IIC Bangalore, etc. But somehow the pull of India was stronger than all these goodies. And I thought that I'll do something for rural India. And please read my history, my story of going to the United States and coming back, and I think you'll be inspired. But I was totally ill-prepared. And I have always felt that if you jump first and then think where you have landed, then that makes you do things which nobody else will do it. And that gives you this, you know, a purpose in life. If you think too much beforehand, that you will never, then you will never take the risk. And that is what happens with most of you because you're so afraid. If you will not take the risk, then you will not do wonderful things in your life. So this is one of the lessons for youngsters. And in 6 months in Fulton, because Fulton was a very horrible place, for every small thing one had to go to Pune. Just to give you an idea, to make even a simple long distance phone call, I would hop on the bus, go to Pune and then make phone calls. And so it was just an overgrown village. And it put a tremendous doubts about the decision. But then I said to myself that I used to give big lectures in America telling Indians to go back. And if I do the same thing of going back to America, then I'm a fraud. And that thought was an anathema to me. And I decided, no, this should not be there. Whatever happens, I'll stay here and do it. And I never look back. And I believe that this fearlessness gave me the strength to do introspection, and Janoon gave me focus to solve problems. First thing we did was to buy a piece of land which was totally barren. This was a very lonely place. At night, there were jackals, sometimes lone wolf. And nobody would like to come to work in our house. We just felt ki nahi, this is something we should do. And that could only happen when you don't have fear. And the biggest lesson so I can give you is become fearless. Do internal introspection to remove fear. Don't listen to other people, because if you listen to other people, you will get more fearful. What others will think about, what others will say, is the start of fear. When you listen to yourself and your inner voice, then that fear goes away. And so follow your passion and inner voice. They are the best guides and the best teachers against fear. Fearlessness also removes insecurity and greed, and is the engine of doing interesting work and thinking deeply about issues. If you are all the time thinking, fearing about your career, about this or that, then you will never be able to focus on the work at hand, and you will never achieve anything in life. Or you will achieve just, you know, the regular thing, and which will be very ordinary. And so if you want to focus on something very deeply, then that fearlessness has to come. And that is why if you want to do something interesting and different in your life, then be a mad person like me. And so welcome to the club of madness. When we came, the institute had farms, almost 100 acres. There was nothing, no infrastructure, just a small building. And I said to myself that we have to do things which are the problems that I see right in front, which are the local problems. And as I said, that NARI, or Nimkar Agriculture Research Institute, is a unique rural R&D institute. It was started in 1968 by Mr. B.V. Nimkar, my father-in-law, Nandini's father. He also got Padma Shri in 2006. And I feel that many more such are needed. And I said to myself very early that we should focus on science and engineering for development. I said to myself that Gandhi, one of the greatest social reformer, could not change India. So who was I? So I said we should be focused on our strength, and the strength is science and technology. And this is what we did. So I focused on the problems that came in front of me. When I came in 1981, the electricity situation of Fulton was really bad. So I had to read under in this lantern, and which is a kerosene powered lantern. And as a mechanical engineer, I started thinking how horrible it is, because since last 120 years, it has not changed and nobody has done work. So we started working on improving the old lantern. And this was a very major work. And we were probably the first one to look very carefully from the whole engineering, heat transfer, mass transfer, photochemistry point of view, how to improve this lantern and produce light and less pollution. And the similar thing, and so we then based upon this, then we said to ourselves that this is running on kerosene, and 80 to 90% of kerosene in 1980s was imported from Russia. And I said to myself, can't we make our own fuel which we can use in these lanterns? And we developed the whole concept of producing ethanol from sweet sorghum and using ethanol as a cooking and lighting fuel. We pioneered the concept of using ethanol for cooking and lighting, and we developed land stoves, lanterns running on ethanol, almost 50% ethanol water, like a vodka, and very interesting things. And I would urge you that I have written about all these things in my book, Romance of Innovation, and you can Google it, and it is again freely available on the net. Then we also found out that Fulton is in the western part of Maharashtra. Sugarcane is the biggest agriculture, and after sugarcane harvesting, the leaves are left behind and burned in the fields. And so we developed a whole concept of sugarcane leaves gasifier, and also the concept of how to utilize these residues for producing power for a taluka. In fact, we pioneered this. This became a national policy of biomass power. In fact, based upon our work, the national energy biomass energy policy was made. And so the idea is to tell you that we tackled the problems that I saw or affected me. Similarly, I was born and raised in Lucknow. So the rickshaws were the main piece of transport thing. And then when I got my lab and I started thinking about it, we developed the electric rickshaws. And so all the electric rickshaws that you see came from our design and our work in 1995. We were the first people in the world to think about electric rickshaws. When nobody else thought, we thought about it. And besides this work, I also worked on spirituality. So it helped me in retaining sanity. I started writing a lot on spirituality. But in all these things, the janoon or passion was a driving force. Now, I have not gone very deep into it because I would urge you to please read this book, Romance of Innovation, Human Interest Story of Doing R&D in Rural Setting. And I think you will enjoy and be inspired by the work that we did. But there have been some impact of our work. For example, around 10,000 megawatt biomass-based power plants have been set up in India based upon our work that we did in early 1990s. And also the biomass resource mapping of each taluka is based exactly on our work that we submitted to the Ministry of New and MNRE. And then we also pioneered the use of sweet sorghum for ethanol and syrup production. In fact, sweet sorghum was introduced to India by our institute in late 1960s, and now many organizations in India are doing work on it. We also pioneered the use of ethanol as a household cooking and lighting fuel. In fact, We have very stringent ethanol, excise laws, and so we cannot use ethanol for, though we developed the technology, but we cannot use ethanol for cooking and lighting in India. But this has been implemented in a dozen countries in Africa and Latin America. And around 10 years ago, there was a major conference in Delhi on cooking and lighting, around 8 years ago. And there was a very two sessions on ethanol cooking and lighting. And I did not present any paper, and I was very impressed and surprised when I went and sat in that meeting room, and they all said that the father of cooking and lighting for ethanol is sitting here, and they pointed towards me, and that made me feel very happy that some of our ideas have now gone much more all over the world. Then, as I said, e-rickshaw's concept came from an ARI in 1990s, and today more than 2.5 million e-rickshaws on Indian roads can really be traced to our work. And I have written a very nice, very big article on the untold story of e-rickshaws, and I would suggest please Google it and you will get it on the net, and please read it. Then in 2012, we developed a concept of rural restaurants, because we felt the poor woman who work in the sun in the farm, when they come home, they are in no mood to cook, and yet they have to cook, and because of that, the whole family eats very little, and there's a lot of money that goes in, medicines, etc., because they eat very poor, and so they don't keep well. So we developed this rural concept, the rural restaurants concept, and it gave rise to Amma's Canteen in Tamil Nadu, Shiv Bhojan in Maharashtra, and similar efforts in other states. And today, more than 6 crore thalis are served every year to poor people based upon this concept. And the interesting part is that in 2012, we had made this concept saying that every thali should cost 10 rupees. And even today, the same thali, the thalis that are served, it costs around 10 rupees. We also released around 7 safflower varieties, and a lot of the safflower oil came from our varieties. And we also released 3 sweet sorghum varieties. As I said, sweet sorghum was introduced in India by us. We also have a very major program on national sheep tuning, and most of the program all over the country is based upon our work. And there's an excellent program on goat improvement. But more than all these things, the most important thing that we did was frugal innovations. So in less than rupees 15 crores, all the projects that I have outlined since 1981 were done. Ideas, I believe, can come to anybody if we think deeply and with using the best understanding of science and technology. Naturally, all this work has also given us a lot of awards, and you can read about these awards on our website. But I would like to mention that we probably are the only NGO in India, a small NGO, which has 2 Padma Shris in science and engineering. And I think that is a unique first in India. But I would still suggest that you please read this book, Romance of Innovation, and a human interest story of R&D in rural setting. Google it, and I'm sure some of you will be inspired about what we did. But for a huge country like India, we need many more efforts like these to make a dent in the rural problems. And that is, therefore, we need excellent scientists, engineers, and creative people for improving the life of rural population. And you are the ones that we are looking for. And I hope you use your technology for helping the rural population and not go in management. But in all these things, please think about the country. There is more to life than simply making money. Happiness and satisfaction are the most important goals, according to me, and this is what I have followed in my life. And I hope that you do the same thing, and when you start doing it, you will feel that is a very good thought, and you will get a very good feeling by doing that. Besides my technological area, I also have a great interest in spirituality. I write a lot on the interface of spirituality and technology because I am an engineer, and I feel both these things go together. In fact, I feel, again, just like our technology pioneering, I also feel in the spirituality we have pioneered this concept of spirituality plus technology is equal to happiness and sustainability. I've written two books on this concept, and you can again Google and Anil Rajvanshi's books and you will get all these books. Again, I have made these books freely available because the whole idea is that the knowledge should be freely available and it should inspire the youngsters. And if you do that, then I think you may start on the path that I have followed. I have written more than 200 articles and books on spirituality related themes since 2000. And my articles have appeared in Times of India, Huffington Post, Thrive Global, South Asia Monitor, and for some of you who are interested, who are Maharashtrians, I was given a column in Sunday, Saptarang, and so a lot of my articles have come in Daily Sakar. I write extensively, and I think every one of us has enough time to do a good time management regarding writing and doing hardware work. Now, what are the driving forces which made me do all these things? Because after all, this podcast is about the life lessons from a spiritual engineer. And I think the most important driving force is happiness. Powerful mind helps to achieve it. When you have a very powerful mind, you can do tremendous analysis. And that gives you a lot of happiness because you can resolve a lot of the issues. And such a mind also helps you become spiritual, because spirituality is nothing else but going deeper into any problem. And Patanjali says Sayam. Sayam is a combination of concentration, contemplation and samadhi on any object or subject leads to its complete analysis and spirituality. And this can only come when you have a very powerful mind. In fact, this increases the concentration. And the history of the great ideas of the world is a history of great concentration showed by those great inventors and discoverers. And so this is the basis of all discoveries and inventions and should become a way of life for you. So, Rad, you know, we are today just like animals. You cannot focus for more than a few seconds because this is all the time what you are doing, sending SMS, receiving SMS, looking at all your WhatsApp and etc. Nature has given humans a huge brain, a very big brain, which makes you contemplate, think, and reflect. And somehow you are not doing it, and that is the reason why you have very little concentration, and you're just like monkeys. So develop that concentration, and this will help you tremendously in doing something wonderful. Powerful mind also helps you get janoon. Solution of problems becomes the only focus. And all other pinpricks like money or certain standard of living become secondary. And this janoon gives you also happiness because you get so focused on your problem solving, your thinking about things very deeply. And it gives you a tremendous high. And spirituality and janoon gives you internal security. As we discussed before, it also removes fear and reduces greed. And if you analyze your fears dispassionately through deep analysis and with a powerful mind, then you can chart new paths and careers. And this is another lesson, because this is what exactly I have done. And when you do this, then all of the things become secondary and you become very focused on what you are doing, and it gives you high. And I have believed that all great people, they did, and you know, people say that they helped mankind, but basically they were helping themselves by getting high on these great discoveries and thinking deeply. And mankind was like a bonus. So whenever you do great things for yourself, you also unwittingly do great things for mankind. Working ethically and giving back to society also brings happiness. And please give 1 or 2% of your time for society. This is hardly any time, 10 minutes or 20 minutes per day. And if you do that, slowly, slowly, you will build a lot of nice structure of helping the community in whatever way you can. Just 6 feet around you, if you can help the society, it will be very helpful. And to my mind, that is nation building. Because if each one of us help the society in any small manner, that is what together all of us can build a great nation. So these are some of the life lessons, but other life lessons are: create a powerful mind through meditation and spirituality. As we discussed before, helps in developing Janoon so that the pinpricks are reduced, since one is constantly immersed in our own dhun. Believe in yourself and follow your inner voice. And I believe, because I have seen this with my own life, doing that produces happiness. And with thinking about higher things, money becomes secondary, and this leads to less worries, because money is not the only thing in life. Think about the country and how you can make it better, and this will give you a purpose in life, because making money is not the purpose in life. Money helps in so many things. It is a means to the ultimate goal, but the goal has to be decided by you based upon your inner feelings. Another lesson that I learned was never pull others down. Always go higher than them so that they become irrelevant. This is how nature evolves. Nature never shows the others down. It branches. The branch which is comes in equilibrium is very evolutionary. It thrives, and the other branch simply dies off. So it becomes irrelevant. Do that. When you do that, the whole system comes up. If you pull somebody else down, the whole system goes down. And the previous system way is much superior than this other one. Another lesson that I have learned is that whenever many times when the chips were down, some good things have happened to lift the spirit. And that was because when the niyat or the intention is good, and you do the work sincerely and with clear consciousness, things happen in your favor. This is a law of nature. I have been a great believer in this. And how this happens? Because opportunities are identified and seized because of the powerful brain. When your brain is powerful, for others who do not see the opportunity, you see it and you seize upon it. And that is how you get things done in your favor. I have also felt that I have been blessed, that there are higher forces who have looked over me. And this has given me a sense of security and remote fear. And I'm sure that each one of you must be feeling now and then about these things. You do not get this by just simply going and ringing a bell in the temple or praying to a deity. You may do that. But I feel that if you are very honest with yourself and want to do good things, then the nature works for you. And I felt that trying to understand these forces should be something that I should be thankful for. And this has led me to the path of spirituality. And I have shared this knowledge in my writings. And again, on our website, you can go through my writings. There's a whole section of my writings. And I'm sure that some of you will be inspired with that. And always be grateful to those who have helped you in life. This gives you humility and ability to learn continuously. And this continuous learning and curiosity in any field creates conditions by which the flow of life becomes smooth, happy and purposeful, and helps in the evolutionary process. And I think this is what we should all be following. And if you do things honestly, life becomes much simpler. It helps the flow of forces quite nicely. And so I would suggest, is that my last lesson, use your IIT education to improve the lives of rural poor through technology. Then only can we make this country great and become a Vishwaguru. Thank you very much.